Welcome. This is the UX Design Cast podcast series, and my name is Carl Vredenberg. This is episode 34, and this is a project review version of our podcast, and I'm delighted to have on this episode with me today two designers of the Lotus Connections 2.5 product. We have Ethan Perry, who is product designer and the UX team lead for Lotus Connections. Welcome, Ethan.
Thanks, Carol. Glad to be here.
And we also have Marty Moore, who is product designer for Lotus Connections as well. Welcome, Marty.
Hello. Glad to be here as well, Carol.
Wanted to get started, as we often do in these sessions, with a little bit of information about the people we're speaking with. So I just wanted to ask each of you to provide us a little bit of background about yourselves and maybe a little bit, too, about your role on this particular project. Maybe we can get started with Ethan.
Okay, sounds good. So I am a product designer, and I've worked in user interface design pretty much all of my career. I actually studied computer science as an undergraduate, but also a bit of graphic design. And then I worked in the emerging kind of web industry in the 90s, and did a lot of different customer engagements working on website design and web application design. And then I went to study sociable media, which pretty much translates into social software and the kinds of things we're looking at in Lotus Connections these days at the MIT Media Lab. And after that, joined IBM. I've been with IBM for about 5 years. And as you said, I'm the lead product designer on Lotus Connections. So I have done a lot of detailed design myself, working on different components such as bookmarks and blogs and in our earlier releases, profiles. And I also engage with the other core members of the product team. So I work very closely with our development leadership and product management to make sure we're targeting the right priorities for the release and coordinating effectively. And also do a lot of work with customers to understand their requirements and how they're using the product.
Great introduction. Marty?
Hello there. My name is Marty Moore, and I was initially trained as a graphic designer. So I started off doing a mixture of both print and interactive media, and moved into largely doing interaction design in the late 90s. And since then, I've worked with IBM for over 10 years on a variety of different products, and started working with Lotus in 2002. I've been working on Lotus Connections since its inception from a series of research projects into a formal product. And I've worked with as the product lead for the activities component, and as well, I've for the Connections 2.5 release, I've worked on the profiles and the discussion forum pieces in particular as well. In my role, I work a lot on both the interaction design, gathering requirements from customers, and as well getting down to some detailed implementation work, helping to coordinate the development team to make sure that the actual final product and markup is of high quality and is as usable and aesthetically pleasing as possible.
You know, we've already mentioned some pieces of the product, and we're going to get to an overview of the product in a second. But just as we were going through sort of the introductions of each of you and your roles on the project, I also know there are more than the two of you that were involved in the design and user experience work on the project. I wonder, Ethan, if you could just give us an idea of the kind of number and the kind of types of other specialists that worked on the design as well.
Sure. So we have a lot of different capabilities within the Lotus Connections suite, and so we have different designers who work in those different areas. We have a total of 8 product and visual and usability designers who worked on this release, along with a project manager and UX management. Among those folks, we have someone specializing in visual design, someone specializing in usability feedback, and then the rest of us have kind of a variety of skills. Some of us focus more on kind of the product design and interaction design aspect. Others also do a bit of visual design and a little bit of UI development.
So we now know then who all kind of worked on it, what kind of skills were involved in designing this as well. We've mentioned the name of the product and a few of the components in sort of the introductory pieces here. Wonder, Marty, if you could just give us a 50,000 foot overview of what Lotus Connections is all about, and also a little bit of insight into what might be new in this latest 2.5 release.
Sure. So Lotus Connections started out because as the trend of social software has become more and more popular in people's personal lives, like the rise of open tools such as Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and other social services have been on the rise, IBM started to look about how companies could start to use these types of tools and these types of interactions for professional reasons and for helping to get work done inside of enterprises or inside of the inside of businesses. With that, Lotus Connections was developed. At its core, it's a social software service. So it starts with a profile directory. So we start with a directory of being able to search and find everyone in your organization and being able to actually connect with your coworkers, so that you can find people in your organization, you can connect with them. And then we give you tools to share information more openly than traditional IT tools such as email or instant messaging, which tends to be private and point to point. In Lotus Connections, we have lots of different ways for you to share information. We allow individuals to have blogs. You can create wikis and share content. We have tools to help groups to form dynamically. So we have a community service where you can join a community of interest, start a community of interest, and share information through discussion forums. We also have taken some popular internet services, such as social bookmarking services, and brought them into the enterprise. We have now a bookmark service that you can share links within your organization and discover information, discover sort of trending topics in your organization more easily. We are also taking advantage of several trends in collaboration. For example, allowing individuals to tag content. So rather than having a formal taxonomy where one person in your organization tries to create a taxonomy of all of the information in your intranet, we allow individuals to tag items so that a new organization structure can emerge as people use and read and discover content. Finally, we allow some very work-specific tools, additions to the social suite. So in particular, we allow social file sharing so that you can share point-to-point files with each other or share files publicly with the whole organization. And we also have a social productivity tool called Activities, which allows you to track and organize work in a more open web-based method. All of these tools are accessible directly from your web browser without needing to install any new information, but we also have a number of plugins that integrate into existing software that you may already have. For example, we have desktop connectors that connect directly to your operating system. We have plugins for the Lotus Notes and Outlook environment, as well as to instant messaging clients, such as the Lotus Same Time product.
Quite an amazing set of characteristics and features. And you know, anybody that follows me on any of the systems like Twitter and Facebook and also on the blogging and the like will know that I do a fair bit of this stuff external to IBM and have been really loving using, you know, your product inside the company as well. So there are certainly instances where you want to be doing some level of microblogging or writing a blog or any of the things that you're talking about, that you want to do those externally, but there's some times when you want to do it behind your own firewall of your own company because it's material that isn't appropriate externally as well. How does the characteristics that you just described that Connections has, and obviously being appropriate to the enterprise space or the sort of customer space that has use of these kinds of capabilities behind a firewall, how does that compare with what's going on in the consumer space here, Ethan?
Yeah, so we have folks from IBM Research and in our internal CIO office as well, actually, who've been thinking a lot about this. And actually, one of the interesting things about the product is almost all of the capabilities were initially developed for internal IBM use, and then we've worked extensively with customers to tailor them for our customer needs. So they were things that we saw, you know, the value in the enterprise perspective. And, you know, as you mentioned, one of the reasons is, you know, there's a lot of information that may be very useful to share in this kind of social way, but you don't want to, you know, post it out there on Facebook for everyone to see. So clearly that's, you know, one of the differences is that we focus on security and being able to collaborate behind the firewall. We're also working in introducing some of the Connections capabilities into our hosted Lotus Live service. So we do see that evolving where You know, people are capable of sharing similar types of things with partners, in kind of a cloud type of collaboration metaphor. And then, you know, certainly we expect that people also are interacting, you know, on the public internet. So we have some connectors and widgets that some folks have developed that make it possible to, you know, include, you know, feeds to some of that external information as well. But really, you know, the thing about the connection components is we try to make sure they really relate to the types of business goals that people have. And the, you know, the UI itself, I think, is a little bit, in some ways, you know, more business focused. So that, you know, clearly on Facebook and Twitter, there's a whole mixture of content out that people are sharing. But, you know, a lot of our customers are really looking at, you know, how do we create an appropriate culture internally around sharing that, you know, is still maintain some kind of business focus, but starts to bring in these elements of, you know, being able to learn things about people in a little more informal way, or be able to share things across organizational boundaries without having, you know, formal access control that gets in the way of information that really should be shared. So, you know, we've really tried to stay current with the kinds of technologies that are emerging in the consumer space, but then think about, you know, how can we make this the most relevant from a business perspective?
Well, one of the challenges that I'd sort of seen in using the various tools that are available for some of this, you know, externally in the consumer space, is that there's a whole bunch of them. They're all different. Yeah, I got to go a different tool each time, and it works a little differently. They don't integrate with one another and the like either. I just wonder if you could describe a little about sort of the design challenges in dealing with bringing all of this together into this one integrated whole, which is Connections 2.5. I wonder if, Marty, you could just talk a little about the design challenges, the kind of input you got from customers in driving that design. Tell us a little about the process of doing the design here.
Yeah, so the power in these social tools is really being able to take advantage of the network effect, where the more people contribute to the various content and participate in discussions, the more rich and valuable the system is. And one of our big challenges is that we really want to encourage people to contribute so that they'll be able to there will be more effective information for people to find, and people can then, it sort of is a self-reinforcing cycle. So we're really interested in this challenge of how do we make a system that will make it easier for people to pick up and start using, make it easier for people to understand these sort of large variety of tools, because there's a lot of services in Lotus Connections. And one of the big challenges that we had for that was trying to make sure that people weren't too overwhelmed. So our approach to these challenges are that we, first of all, really worked a lot on trying to make sure to have consistent navigation architecture established across all of Lotus Connections. So we established consistent navigation patterns, as well as how the services connect to each other. So that when you're using one aspect of Lotus Connections, it's easy to apply the behaviors you're using there to any other part of Lotus Connections. Next, we tried to keep a key design principle to focus on people throughout the product. It's a social software, so anywhere where you see a name, it's easy to click on that person's name to get to their profile. From a user's profile, you'll be able to see, learn more information about them and see contributions they've made into other places. You'll be able to see what communities they're a part of, if they've updated their status recently, and what their not just sort of corporate directory information like their phone number and email address, but information that they themselves can add to their profile. We focused a ton on making group interactions easier in this past release. Communities is a really key part of social software, and facilitating interactions between groups of people is something that we've spent a lot of time working on, making it easier for people to manage communities and to add a variety of tools to a community so that you can really have the types of collaborations you'll want. So now when you join a community, we make it easy for you to share files, to start discussion forum topics, and things that we've learned from feedback from customers are doing small things, like being able to customize the community by tailoring, for example, a picture, a logo for your community, or being able to change the theme of the community so that you can have more of a personal touch to it, so it feels more like something you own and that you're able to participate with. The other big thing that we've worked on is trying to make these disparate services. We have lots of services like blogs and wikis and bookmarks. We've integrated them together into a new homepage so that we try and make it easier for people to follow a river of news that's organized and prioritized by your network. So based on the people that you have connected with in the system, when you first log into Connections, you're easily able to see what's been going on. What have the people that I'm related to, what have they been sharing recently? Have there been updates in communities that I'm a part of? Have what have people been saying? We've added a new capability in Connections 2.5 to have status updates, which is very much like Twitter. So basically a micro-sharing client for inside the firewall, which has been tremendously helpful because there are lots of cases where people have very work-specific information that they want to share with each other. And all of this information is able to be aggregated through an integrated Connections homepage so that you don't have to visit all these different services. You can really go to your homepage and get a good sense of what's going on from one place. Those are the main approaches that we've tried to take in the most recent release to encourage adoption and to make it easier to discover what's going on inside of the service so that more people will participate, more people can find it easier to get value out of the system. And it's something that we're going to continue going forward with in future releases, in particular focusing on the getting started aspect. How do you onboard people into these types of systems?
Yeah, I've been particularly enjoying the river of news and really experiencing, I think, something I just wanted to mention too, that a lot of those other clients that we use in the consumer space, they're very different. Every, you know, Twitter client or and also working between Facebook and the like, they're all different, as I'd mentioned earlier. There's something about the design that you guys did on Connections that I think is worth noting, and maybe from a user's point of view here too, because I'm a regular user of your product. And that is that a lot of people, I think, probably have a notion when they think about enterprise software as not being necessarily beautiful or engaging or those kinds of characteristics. They might have the impression that these things are utilitarian because they're made for an enterprise. And I think one of the key features of what you've designed here, and remember, this is a, for anybody listening, this is not an installed client. This is working in the browser that you can do from anywhere. So you can do it from any machine as long as you're behind the firewall and have access to this. But it's also, I think, visually designed to be really pleasing, engaging, and like you said, there's some customizability involved in it as well, that I find that it's much more enjoyable to work in this environment and have everything integrated in it than my experience, for example, in the consumer space, which is entirely disparate and different and going from one to the other, and the experiences are different as well. So I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about sort of the approach to the visual design of the work that you've done here that achieved that effect that I so like.
Yeah, so we actually have worked with a group of visual designers to try and make sure that focus on a few things. One is making sure that we had a certain degree of visual appeal that people come to expect from these sort of social products. One of the big things that you'll notice in the consumer space is that they're very encouraging to new users to come up and to use. They try and reduce some of the traditional feeling more like an application with lots and lots of sort of traditional gray interface elements. And we've tried to reflect some of that to make this feel more like a live site. We use take advantage of simple elements, for example, like making sure to use people's photographs as much as possible so that the site feels more alive and feels more active throughout it. One of the big challenges that we had as a visual design group early on is that we had a big meeting across all of the different designers for Lotus and Portal and realized that we needed to work together to have a more consistent design, visual design strategy in general for our software. Because what was happening is we had a lot of different products with a lot of different themes and identities going on at the same time. And so right around the Connections 2.0 and 2.5 time, the visual design team split off and spent a lot of time developing what we've referred to now as the Lotus One UI system. This was a visual design framework that makes it easy for applications within the Lotus brand to have sort of a basic starting template and a few starting design patterns to work from. It's easy to tailor for particular situations so that it's easy to adapt and to have different applications inside of this framework. But that really gives the sort of visual character that's consistent across all Lotus products, that when you come into connections, it feels like one application. You have a strong, simple identity. And part of the advantage of building it as the One UI framework means that it is themable. One of the big requirements we have from our customers is that when an enterprise buys this, they really want to brand it as their own company. They aren't really that interested in seeing, for instance, the Lotus Connections logo or the Lotus Connections name. They'll want their company name on it, and they may even call it something else. They might call it, you know, My Company Connect. And be able to change it so that it matches their existing identity system. So we had a challenge there as well, is that we're not just trying to develop a brand like Facebook or LinkedIn. We also have to make sure that the brand that we established is easy to basically mimic into an existing system, so that when it gets integrated into a company's working environment, the employees don't even need to know who's developing the software. They just now have this social system that feels seamlessly integrated with their company intranet.
And that's getting increasingly important as we put things like this into browsers, right? Where companies do have those kinds of requirements that they need their intranets to have a particular, you know, look and feel and identity, as you say. And it's phenomenal that you're also providing the capability to do that so they can incorporate and integrate the software you're creating directly into their internal sort of ecosystem. Now, we talked a little bit about the visual design. Let's talk a little bit about the user experience research and feedback kind of work. What kind of customer feedback have you collected, and what types of things have you done in that regard, and what kinds of approaches have you taken to that?
So we've done a lot of work with our customer council. We have a set of customers we work very closely with, and these are customers who are, you know, deploying to large numbers of users. Some of our customers have, you know, literally thousands of users now who have access to this inside their company. And so we have regular meetings with those folks, and we share, you know, a lot of our early design work, and then actually have them deploy beta code so they can really, you know, give us feedback based on actual usage that includes their own content. And it, because social software is so dependent on, you know, the information you're sharing, you know, it seems like we get more valuable feedback when the software is used in a particular company environment, as opposed to sort of like a single user test session you might do with maybe a more traditional kind of productivity application. We also actually deploy the Lotus Connections product, you know, in its beta versions on a system we internally we call our TAP site, which stands for Technology Adoption Program. So we have, again, you know, thousands of users within IBM who are using this every day, and there a lot of them are very, you know, passionate about the tool actually, and will post all sorts of feedback about things that they're looking for. So, you know, we review all sorts of blogs and forum posts, both, you know, internally at IBM as well as external feedback of that nature. In addition to, you know, traditional user tests that we do at our customer conferences, and also sometimes on site with customers, you know, our customer council design partners will arrange to do usually a remote usability testing. So we'll set somebody up with a web conference, and they will have connections, you know, on their intranet, and then we can observe, you know, their response to various tasks that we ask them to do. So it's a mixture of, you know, traditional kind of usability testing and user research, but also bringing a little more of the social software itself, where, you know, through blogs and microblogging, as well as the discussion forums, that we can observe people's feedback without having to, you know, specifically set up a meeting or an interview to do that.
I've given feedback myself in that form as well, using the microblogging capability. I think it's a great way to do it. In fact, what kind of feedback are you getting from customers that are now, you know, using this on a regular basis? Give us some insight into what we're hearing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think we're really actually with the 2.5 release at a point where a lot of customers are really expanding. You know, a lot of them had been piloting with maybe, you know, subsets of their population, are now looking at, you know, how do I extend usage? You know, I think both with kind of new employees coming into the workplace who, you know, maybe are so used to using Facebook and things like that, as well as more people telecommuting, where people have a little less sense of what's actually going on in the company. And also just a recognition that, you know, there's a lot of value of kind of working across across boundaries within organizations, you know, across divisions, across geographies. We get a lot of customers coming in where, you know, sometimes we'll do a detailed meeting or workshop with them. And the challenges they're really trying to figure out are, you know, how do I connect up these people in one corner of the organization who, you know, have some ideas that may be really relevant to someone in another country or in another department? You know, how can we share this stuff more informally? And so they're really seeing that, you know, being able to kind of publish something into a community can, for instance, make it possible for people who may not, you know, have those kinds of formal relationships to keep track, you know, not only of the, maybe the content that people are producing, but also, you know, interesting research they've bookmarked or, you know, the, plans that they have for the future, you know, that people can start to share this content, you know, a little bit more openly. That said, it's certainly the case that there's various, you know, policies that companies want to focus on. And I think a lot of them are really drilling into that now of, you know, what's the right level of sharing information? Maybe you don't mention all the details and something that's shared a little more openly like this, but have a little more of a higher level description, which can still share a lot of value. You know, in some cases there are legal restrictions, which clearly, you know, we have to make sure people opt in an appropriate way so that they are aware of, you know, how the information is going to be used. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of excitement that these new tools are really opening up, you know, more effective ways to collaborate and companies of various industries, you know, from financial to entertainment to manufacturing are all seeing, you know, there's a lot of ways in which this new type of collaboration can really be very effective.
And so those other companies that are now also adopting this, because obviously IBM has adopted it rather deeply, as you said, before the product even came about, there were, you know, these capabilities initially that then you guys pulled together and further hardened and improved the design on and the like as well. And inside IBM, it's used an awful lot. And most activities that are going on are captured, certainly on my broader team here, we use it on a regular basis all the time. I wonder if you give us some insight into, you know, what are some of the characteristics of the adoption? Now, you'd mentioned some of the kind of industries that are picking up this kind of social software. I think for a lot of people that may be listening, they'd have some thoughts with regard to what kinds of companies would be appropriate for this, and also, you know, how they would go about, you know, adopting the software and then sort of evolving it over time as well, because it's obviously a natural to go from this kind of use external to companies in the consumer space, but then to apply them and reap huge benefits inside companies. But for some companies, it may not be obvious what those benefits might be. I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about the whole adoption of this kind of technology, this kind of software, and in particular, your Connections 2.5.
Yeah, so that's a great question. You know, I think one of the key things is that, you know, often some of these kinds of capabilities come in through the IT organization, and it's very important for them to partner with, you know, the business side. So, you know, whether it's a marketing team that's, you know, developing marketing strategy or producing new materials, or a sales team, or, you know, a support group, there's all sorts of different groups that have a need to share information and make information a little more available. And really, I think the most effective approach to this kind of adoption is for, you know, the IT group to work with at least initially some pilot groups where there's a real natural reason for these folks to be collaborating in this way, whether it's because they're not co-located and you know, maybe they used to be, or maybe there's been, you know, an acquisition of a team in a different location and they need to get on board. You know, identifying, you know, again, whether it's folks who are collecting best practices for technical support or, you know, marketing across geographies, you know, there's sometimes a tension between, you know, do you produce it centrally or do you produce it locally? And, you know, social software can really provide a way for things to happen a little more in between so that there's kind of central awareness and coordination of everything that's going on, but that folks out in the field or in different locations can participate. And so, you know, what I recommend is really that, you know, as the IT groups work and actually, you know, from technical perspective, getting this stuff deployed, that they work very closely with their partners on the business side. And there's often, because, you know, this is an exciting time and a lot of people are really enjoying using these capabilities, there are usually a few folks on the business side who, you know, really want to make this happen and working to, you know, figure out who is the right people to participate in that way and actually opening up a discussion maybe of, you know, different groups within the organization who are the advocates for social software can also help to kind of really accelerate the usage.
And one of the ways that people can, you know, learn a little bit more about this kind of thing, like you say, the actual users some of the time are the ones who are sort of driving the need and making the case for the rest of the company to say, okay, hey, we need something like this inside the company, like we use in the consumer space. It's the case in the consumer space that people have ready access to trying those kinds of things out and seeing what they look like. In this case, it would be really kind of cool too if you had the capability to go somewhere and see what this actually looks like and can actually touch it and feel it and get some experience with it. Marty, can you tell us if there's some capability for people to do that?
Yes, you can actually go today to the site greenhouse.lotus.com and you'll get to the Lotus Greenhouse site. This is a site that hosts lots of software that Lotus makes that you can use on a trial basis. So it's basically a site that you can once you go there, you can click the join button and fill out your information. Then after a while, you'll get an email to give you access to it. From there, you'll be able to access Lotus Connections as well as other tools that Lotus has made recently. For example, Lotus Quicker, Lotus Forms, and a variety of other tools that you can really basically kick the tires with and get to see what this is like before your company actually gets a hold of it. It is one of the things that is a shame about some enterprise social software is that it is harder for people to get access to it because it's really more company-centric. It's really installed and managed by your organization. So this is a way for you to get access to it and to see what it's like. You can also go to the site lotuslive.com. And that's a site where you can see an open network of some social tools that are not necessarily just targeted at intranet collaboration, so not just at a particular company, but for a broader sort of cross-company offering. And Lotus Connections is starting to be integrated into Lotus Live, so you'll see some aspects of it in there as well.
Excellent. I think it's great to be able to actually touch and feel things like this for ourselves. I'll also mention that many of the things we've talked about here and also some of the characteristics of the things we've been talking about here can also go to the ibm.com/design site. And you'll notice that we have, as many that listen to this podcast series on a regular basis will know, we have a design gallery there. And Ethan and Marty and the team were kind enough to provide information for a feature story there about this product and also put together a wonderful demo that you can view on the site. It's also available on YouTube. And so you can read through the article there. You can watch the video. And as Marty just mentioned, you can also go and try this out. And the links that we mentioned just now are available on that story as well. Now, before we finish up, I've been doing all the asking of the questions, guys. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you still want to make sure to mention?
No, I think that you did a great job. And I just as Ethan mentioned before, we're part of a very a team of designers and writers and developers who've worked together on this. So it was one thing that I'd like to also highlight in the end is that it was a really collaborative process between all of them, and that it was one of the nice things about developing social software is that we also tend to use social software to actually build it. So throughout all this time, one of the other feedback vectors that we get for Connections is that we're actually using this directly with the development team and the rest of the design group. As we design Lotus Connections, we're actually using the various tools. We're sharing files, we're tracking tasks and activities using the tool. So it's one of the really nice things about it is that we actually get to improve the product as we use it to design the product, which is a sort of nice quirk of fate for this particular project.
Yeah, it's a great point because actually we also, you know, work with folks who are around the world in China and Ireland and India. And so, you know, being able to have everyone contribute in this way where we get, I think we get a much better sense of, you know, who the people are, you know, across the organization that we're working with, you know, some of who we may never meet in person. So, you know, as Marty said, it's cool to be able to use the software that we're developing. And I think we're, you know, we're especially excited about this 2.5 release, where we really filled in a lot of the key functionality that we've been looking to provide to our customers and be able to use it ourselves.
Well, Ethan and Marty, I wanted to thank you for doing this podcast episode with me, and also wanted to thank you for all the great work you did on designing this amazing Lotus Connections 2.5 product. I encourage everyone that's listening to follow up with the story and the demo and trying it out as well, and you can start your journey with regard to that again at ibm.com/design. Wanted to also mention that we now have a page on that site in the resources section that also lists all the previous episodes of this UX Design Cast podcast series. Wanted to also mention that if you are on the consumer version of this stuff, if you're on Twitter, you can follow us on twitter.com/IBM Design. If you're on Facebook, you can also follow us on facebook.com/IBM Design. So with that, I want to again thank Ethan and Marty for the session and the great work you did. And that's it for this episode. And we'll talk to you all next time. And bye for now.